بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If you would like to participate in these classroom style online lecture series and be able to ask questions in the question answer sessions, please visit www.al-asr.org to enroll. The website once again is www.al-asr.org. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأذريته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بجهده رزق الله وبوجوده به ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، we have discussed about the Quran and Nazm, the evidence about the organization in this world, organization in this universe, and the fact that every well-organized thing is a sign and an evidence about an organizer who is knowledgeable, wise, and powerful, which was actually one of the most obvious evidences about the existence of God. And like I said in the previous lesson, today we would talk about, inshallah, at least two or further evidences among a total of six evidences that we would mention in these series of lectures. The next evidence about the existence of Allah is a little bit philosophical, but I will try my best to explain it to you in as simple words as I can. But it is important to learn, because the logical and philosophical evidences are unshakable and eternal, and they work for everyone, because philosophical and logical evidences can never be altered and can be found beneficial for a believer and a non-believer alike. The next evidence is the what we call as Burhanul Imkan, the evidence about the possibility. The existence or wujud, existence itself is divided into three categories. There are three basic divisions of existence. That means there are three kinds of existences available in total. Three kinds of divisions of existences available. Those three divisions of existences are like follows. The first is the compulsory being or the compulsory existence. In Arabic we called wajibul wujud. Wajibul wujud, that means the compulsory being, the compulsory existence. The second kind is the mumkinul wujud, the possible existence or the possible being. And the third one is mumtani'ul wujud. Mumtani'ul wujud. Let me just write it down as well for those of you who want to understand. Mumtani'ul wujud. Mumtani'ul wujud, which means impossible existence. So existences are divided into three fundamental kinds. The first, wajibul wujud, that means the compulsory existence or the compulsory being. The second, mumkinul wujud, that is the possible being. And the third, mumtani'ul wujud, that means the impossible being or the impossible existence. Wajibul wujud is a term that we use for God in philosophy. His existence is compulsory to be there. He was there since ever and he will be forever. He is eternal. His existence is compulsory existence. His existence is a necessary existence. He's a necessary being. He's a necessary existence. And the second is mumkin al-wujud, which are possible existences. And everything other than God falls in the category of mumkin al-wujud. Everything which is possible to happen falls in the category of mumkin al-wujud, that means the possible existence or the possible being. Like the humans, like everything else, like the whole universe, all the planet Earth, everything which is available in the universe, it's mumkin al-wujud. You know, the prophets, the messengers, the imams, everything which is available, everything which is existence, which is existent, is mumkinul wujud, that means its existence is the possible existence. And the third is mumtani'ul wujud, which is impossible being. And there's only one example for mumtani'ul wujud, which there's one very common example which is commonly given for the mumtani'ul wujud, and that is a partner to Allah. The partner of God is mumtani'ul wujud. There can be no partner to God. So that's an impossible being to accept or to imagine or to, it's impossible. It's not impossible to imagine. We can imagine in our minds as a something in our minds only, but it's impossible to exist out there in the world because it's an impossible being. So, mumkin al-wujud, that in which all the universe other than Allah falls in the category of mumkin al-wujud, are those existences whose existence is possible to happen. And they are the ones who were, that means it's mumkin, it's possible for them to be present like it is possible for them not to be present. So their presence is not compulsory like wajib al-wujud, like God. Their presence and their existence is not compulsory, but their existence is possible. And that is precisely why we humans or the rest of the creatures, at a time we were not present, and later on we were created by God. So if our existence was compulsory, we would never be non-existent. Whereas we find we were not present before, and God created us from non-existence into existence. So that is what makes us mumkin al-wujud. That's what makes us possible being. So every mumkin al-wujud, every possible being was non-existent and then it came into existence. And that's the nature of every possible being. It was non-existent before. It was Adam and later on it came into existence, into wujud. So now, coming to the evidence, after we have divided the existence into three kinds, we come to the point that every mumkinul wujud existence, every existence which is a possible existence, that means all the existences other than God, they must take their existence from the compulsory being, from the wajibul wujud. There has to be a wajibul wujud, there has to be a kind of existence which is compulsory to be present at all times, so that he is the one who brings all the possible beings from non-existence into existence. Because our existence was not there, we were non-existent. Who brought us to existence? There has to be somebody whose existence is not dependent on anybody else, but his existence is compulsory. His existence is rooted into his own existence, and he's not dependent on anybody else. So he was a compulsory existent. He was a necessary being. He was wajibul wujud. His existence was not like ours, that it was non-existent before. There has to be someone whose existence is compulsory existence, and he's the one who brings all those existences which are possible existences, mumkinul wujud, possible beings. He's the one who brings all of them from non-existence into existence. Otherwise, if we do not accept that, we would end up in dar and tasalsul, and both are batil. We would end up in two things. First, we will go in circles, or we will follow a chain and sequential chain, which is, of course, it ends up in it's wrong and it's invalid, and both are unacceptable. What do we mean by dar and tasalsul? What do we mean by going in circles or going in a sequential chain kind of thing? Let me explain to you. If let's suppose a person, a human who is a mumkinul wujud, he's a possible being. Once upon a time, we were not present, we were non-existent, and then we came into existence. So what is this mumkinul wujud, this possible being, was brought into existence by someone whose existence was not possible. Instead, his own existence was compulsory to exist. So he was never non-existent, and he's the one who created us. If we do not accept that, then what we would be forced to come to the point that every possible being is dependent on another possible being, and that possible being is also dependent on another possible being, and that possible being is so and so forth dependent on another. So this is going to last into an eternal chain, infinite chain, which would never end. And this is called tasalsul in philosophy, a chain. That means A depends on B, and B depends on C, and C depends on D, and so forth. And that would be infinite, which is not possible to accept, because there has to be a point where someone started all of it, and his own existence was not dependent on anybody else, but his own existence was dependent on his own existence, because his existence was compulsory being and wajib wujud and necessary existence. So he was there since ever and will be there forever. He did not take his existence from anybody else. So if A depends on B, and B depends on C, and C depends on D, and D depends on E, and this chain continues, this is unacceptable and invalid, because there has to be an end of it. This is what is called tasalsul in philosophy, in Arabic. And the second possible thing is dar. That means A depends on B, and B depends on A. That is mean. It means that we are going in circles. That means we accept one mumkinul wujud, one possible being is created by another possible being, and that possible being is created by the first possible being. That means A depends on B, and the existence of B depends on A. And both these things are invalid. The first one of the chain and the sequence of you know, possible beings and compulsory beings, possible beings one after the other, like A depends on B, B depends on C, C depends on D. There is a tasalsul and chain, which is also invalid and batil. And this second, which is called Daur, going in circles, this is also batil, which means like A depends on B and B depends on A. Why do we consider this Daur going in circles to be invalid philosophically and logically? Because of a very clear reason. When we say that A depends on B, it means that the existence of A was not there. B was there. And B brought A into existence. So there was a time when A was not there, but B was there. And B brought A into existence. So B's existence was before A. But then if we say that B also depends on A, so we are disapproving of our own argument. So we are contradicting our own argument. When we say A depends on B, that means B was there before A. But if we say that B also depends on A, that means A was present before B. But we just said that A was not present before B, because A was created by B. A time was there when A was not present, and B was present, and B brought A into existence. And if we say, okay, the same B was also depending on A, that means A was present before B, which in Arabic we call it taqaddum ash-shay ala nafsihi. One thing was present before its own thing. And that's not possible to accept. When we say A depends on B, that means B was present before A. So now B cannot depend on A, because in that case, A would be present before B. And that is not possible to accept. So this is how we consider Daur, that means going in circles, like A depends on B and B depends A on A. It ends up in the fact, ends up in the thing that A would be present before its own existence. And that is not possible, and that's not logical to accept, that something is possible before its own existence. So that's why Daur and going circles is invalid and batil. Now coming to the sequence and tasalsul, why we consider the tasalsul thing, that means to be batil and invalid. That means A depends on B, B depends on C, C depends on D, D depends on E, and this goes to an infinite chain. Why do we consider philosophically that this is unacceptable and invalid? Here is the proof. Let's consider a chain like this. Like one existence, one possible being, one mumkinul wujud, depends on another, and that another depends on another, and that another depends on another, and this is a chain. A depends on B, so A takes its existence from B, and B depends on C, so B takes its existence from C, and C depends on D, so D is taking its existence, C is taking its existence from D, and D depends on E, so the existence of D is depending on E. And E takes its existence from F. So the existence of E depends on F. And so forth till infinite sequence. Why do we consider it to be impossible that such a sequence is possible to accept? We say it's not possible to accept such a sequence. We say it's invalid. We say it's unacceptable. Why? Because if that is the case, that all the possible beings are, you know, they take their existences from a series and sequence of causes and effects, a sequence of, previous existences. In that case, all of those previous existences are mumkin al-wujud. All of them are possible beings, and no possible being is capable to bring any other existence in from any other thing in from non-existence into existence. A possible being itself is dependent on somebody who has his own existence as compulsory. a necessary being, a compulsory being, a wajibul wujud. And a possible being can never bring anything into existence because his own existence is depending on someone else. How can you entitle B to bring about the existence of A, whereas the existence of B itself is dependent on someone else, and that someone is C, and likewise C is dependent on D. So all of them are invalid to create because their existences are dependent. And because this entire series is the series of Mumkinul Wujud, is a series of possible beings. So all the series has to be dependent on an existence which is not like them. An existence which is not Mumkinul Wujud. An existence which is not possible being. An existence which is not dependent on someone else. It has to rely on a wajibul wujud, on a kind of existence which is compulsory being, necessary being, wajibul wujud, which draws his own wujud and existence from his own self, and not depending on anyone else. And such a compulsory being is the only one who can create something from non-existence into existence, because his own existence is not depending on anybody else. Otherwise, if his own existence is depending on somebody else, that somebody would be the compulsory being, not him. Because he himself, if he depends on someone else, then he is also a possible being. Because in his existence, he is depending on someone else. So, this is why this is why we strongly believe that since all the existences around us are all possible beings, Mumkinul Wujud, and Mumkinul Wujud is defined as a wujud, existence which was non-existence and it was brought into existence later on, such a kind of possible beings need to rely on a kind of existence which is compulsory being, who does not draw his own existence from someone else, but his existence is deep-rooted into his own existence and is not reliant and not dependent on someone else. If he would be dependent on someone else, then that someone would be again that someone else would be the necessary being, not him. If he is dependent, then he himself would be Mumkin al-Wujud and possible being, because he depends and relies on that someone to bring him from non-existence into existence. So all the series of of Mumkin al-Wujud, all the series of the possible beings need to end up in a kind of existence which is not possible existence. And that is why it can take place, because if it relies on a possible existence, that possible existence is not empowered to create anything, because that possible existence itself is dependent in its existence in someone else. So it has to rely in a category, in a kind of existence, which is not dependent on anyone else, but it takes its existence from its own self. And that is what we call wajibul wujud, the compulsory being, the necessary being. So this is the very, I understand it's hard, but I tried to explain it in, as simple words as I can, and I would repeat in very shortly, that existence is divided into three possible divisions. The first, compulsory being, which was there since ever and will be there forever, and no time passed that it was not there, it was non-existent, it was there forever and since ever. And the second kind is the Mumkinul Wujud, the possible existences, which is defined as the kind of existences which were non-existent and then later on it came into existence. Such a category of existences require someone as a creator whose existence is not dependent on someone else, but whose existence is dependent on his own existence. And that's how he could create others. If his existence is also dependent, then that one would be the creator, not him. So mumkin al-wujud means the possible beings which are dependent on wajib al-wujud, dependent on a kind of existence which is not dependent on anyone or anything. And the third, which is mumtani al-wujud, that means a kind of existence which is impossible to happen, impossible to be present, impossible to exist. And that is like the example I gave you, a partner of Allah. It's impossible to happen. There is no partner of God. So this falls in the category of mumtani al-wujud. That means impossible being, impossible existence. And there is no example for that, because there is no impossible existence happening. There is no impossible existence taking place. So all what is available around is either wajib al-wujud, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mumkin al-wujud things like we, the humans, all the existing things around us in the whole universe, all of them are mumkin al-wujud. They are possible beings. At the time, they were non-existent, and the wajib al-wujud, the compulsory being, brought them from non-existence into existence. So that is why every possible being has to take its existence from someone who is not dependent on anyone in his existence. And that someone is the wajib al-wujud, that someone is the compulsory being. This was what we call Burhan al-Imkan, the evidence of possibility in philosophy. And the second, which I would like to mention again very shortly, is also about the Burhanul Illiyat, that means the evidence of causality, that every effect requires a cause. It's a different evidence, but it is very much similar to what we just talked about right now, that is the Burhanul Imkan. Burhanul Illiyat is very much similar to Burhanul Imkan. The evidence of causality is, it means that every effect requires a cause. Every musabbab requires a sabab. Every ma'lul requires an illat. Every effect requires a cause. And no effect can ever take place without a cause. The whole universe is the effect. So it requires a cause. And if the cause also depends on some another cause, then again there would be a sequence like we just talked about, tasalsul. A depends on B, and B depends on C, and C depends on D, and that we already talked about. It's impossible to accept. It's not possible to happen. It has to end up into a kind of existence which takes its existence from its own self, not depending on any other existence. That's how it can create others from non-existence into existence. If itself is also dependent on other, then that other would be God, not this. Because God is not dependent on anybody else in his existence. Somebody has to be non-dependent on others in order to be able to create the effects. A cause should be someone not depending on any other cause. So that is why in philosophy we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as illatul ilal and sababul asbab and musabbibul asbab as well. So he is the cause of all the causes. And all other inferior level of causes are made causes by him. So he is the cause of all the causes. And he should not be depending on any other cause, otherwise that other cause would be God. He should be not depending on anyone or anything or any other cause. And all the effects need to end up into a cause. And that cause should not be depending on another cause. Otherwise, there would be a chain and series. And series is impossible to accept. We already talked about. And if the cause is dependent on effect, that doesn't make sense to accept that, the effect, the world is the effect, and there's a cause for that. And that cause is dependent in its existence on the effect. That is unacceptable, obviously. Like we talked about the door thing, the going in circles, like A depends on B, the effects depend on the cause, and the cause also depends on the effect. Doesn't make sense. A depends on B and B depends on A. Well, effects were never there. They were non-existent at a time. Cause created them. There were no effects. Cause came and created them. Cause created them. So when cause created them, cause was there before the effects. When cause was there before the effects, if cause is dependent on the effects, that means we are trying to say now that effects were there before the cause. And that is a contradiction. That's not possible. So the second evidence of today's lesson is the evidence of causality, Burhan al-Illiyyah, which means that every effect, every ma'lul, every musabbab, every effect requires a cause, and that cause should not be dependent on another cause. Otherwise, it would be a series thing, and series thing is unacceptable. And that cause should also not be dependent on the effects, because that would be end up going in circles. So we must have a cause which is not dependent on any other cause or any effect. It depends on its own self. It's free of it. Let me say it in these words instead of saying dependent. Let me say the cause is self-reliant. It's not dependent on anyone or anything. It's self-sufficient. And such an existence, such a cause, has to be there to create all the effects. Otherwise, if effects are dependent on existences and causes, which are in turn dependent on another causes, and they are in turn dependent on another causes, that would be tasalsul and chain and series of cause and effects, which would never end, and it's impossible to accept, because there has to be a cause not taking its existence from someone else, or something else. And that cause should be empowered to create things from non-existence to existence. So these are the two very logical analogies, and we find help and assistance from the hadith, and that is narrated in Kitab Tawheed of Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayh, page number 293, from Imam Rida alayhi salam, that dakhala ala Maulana Rida alayhi salam rajulun faqala ya ibn Rasulillah ma ad-dalil. Somebody asked Imam Rida alayhi salam about the effects, about this world, this universe. These are the effects, these are the ma'lul, and how this all came into being. And what is the evidence about this? Imam Rida alayhi salam, our eighth Imam, replied, Anta lam takun, thumma kunta. You were not there, then you came into being. See, the same analogy that we were talking about. Imam is referring to the non-existence phase. All the effects in the universe were non-existent, and then later on they were created and they came into existence. So Imam Rida said, "Anta lam takun," you were not there. "Thumma kunta," then you came into existence. "Waqad alimta annaka lam tukawwin nafsaka," and you know for sure that you did not create yourself. You yourself are not the cause. You yourself did not create yourself. وَلَا كَوَّنَكَ مَنْ هُوَ مِثْلُكَ, nor did someone similar to you created you. So there has to be a cause. I'm not the cause who created myself. And anybody who is like me cannot be the cause to create me. It has to be someone, that cause has to be someone unlike the effects. Like the effects are dependent, the cause should not be dependent on anyone or anything. Such a cause which is cause of all the causes, illatul ilal, has to be there to create things from non-existence into existence and bring about all the effects.
وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We now move into the question answer session. So if you have any questions that you want to ask, please raise your hand. And you can do that by clicking on the raise hand button, which is located on the top left corner of the PowerTalk window. And if you do not have a mic, you can type in your question and I will read out the question and Maulana can answer the question. Since there are no hands, I would like to begin with a question I had myself. And the question is as follows. During your lecture, Maulana, you mentioned that God is not dependent on anyone, but dependent on his own existence. My question is, do we have to make him dependent on his own existence? Or would it be okay to say that he is not dependent on anything? Because when we say that he is dependent on his own existence, then we are making an existence depending on its own self. And is that not a circular loop on the same on the same entity itself?
That is a good question, and I should not use the word dependent. I later on changed my words in English. You know, my English is not that good, which I'm. You are right. I later on changed the word self-reliant is a better word to express that theme of Arabic language, you know. Instead of using dependent, yes, it's inappropriate. Because God, it's not appropriate to use the word dependent about God. God is not dependent. We should better use the word self-reliant and sustainable, self-reliant, and not dependent on anyone or anything, because his existence is compulsory existence, and he does not take his existence from anyone or anything. So he's self-reliant and self-sufficient. That is the better and correct word, actually, instead of me using the word dependent, because God. It's correct. He is not dependent. The word dependence is not appropriate to use for God. We should better say self-reliant or self-sufficient. Thank you for correcting and making me recall that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Maulana. The next question is from Brother Ishfaq, and his question is regarding Mumtani'ul Wujud, and his question. Can everybody hear me now? Okay, the question from Brother Ishfaq is about Mumtani'ul Wujud, and he says that would it be okay to say that the arrival of one more prophet, or God sending one more prophet, is Mumtani'ul Wujud? I hope I asked that question properly.
No, it's not Mumtani'ul Wujud, it's Mumkinul Wujud, but is it wise and in the best benefit of humanity? Or it's unwise to send a prophet at what time, at what place, for what kind of people, for what nation? This requires wisdom and knowledge about the benefits of humanity, which we don't know the larger picture and the larger benefits. And we don't know the reason behind that. So yes, creating a prophet is possible, but it's against the wisdom and against the absolute knowledge and absolute wisdom which only God has, and we don't have any access to that. So he would never create, because he always performs what is good and what is khair and what is nice and beneficial and wise. So if you talk about the concept itself of creating a messenger, itself, this, as theoretically speaking, it's a possible, if a prophet was to be created after the holy prophet, of course he would be a munkir al-wujud. He would be a possible being. He would not be a wajib al-wujud. Of course not. He would not be a compulsory being. He would not be a necessary being. He will certainly also fall in the possibility of munkir al-wujud. But whether he should be created at this time and brought about the holy prophet, who is the seal of the messengers, or he should not be brought into existence, this depends on the wisdom, which God knows that it's not good, and that's why he did not create any other further prophet. And so creation itself, that kind of creation would also be mumkin al-wujud, possible being, but bringing into existence is unwise and against the divine absolute knowledge and divine absolute wisdom. That's why he did not create.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? There is one question by a student, and he or she wants the Arabic text for the hadith or the transliteration. I don't know if Maulana can do that right now, but I'd like Maulana to address the question, or she can email Maulana directly, and I'll just type the email right now. Maulana, please, you could either give a reference or, if possible, the transliteration of the Arabic text of the hadith or the reference, please. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the hadith is narrated in Kitab al-Tawheed of Sheikh Saduq, rahmatullah alayh, which is considered to be one of the mother books of our usuluddin, our beliefs of Islam. One of the mother books is the Kitab al-Tawheed of Sheikh Saduq, page number 293. Hadith is from Imam Riva, our 8th Imam, and where he has said, and I would say the hadith slowly two times, if you want to write down, and it's anta lam takun summa kunta wa qad alimta annaka lam tukawwin nafsaka wa la kawwanaka man huwa misluka. I repeat the hadith. Anta lam takun summa kunta wa qad alimta annaka lam tukawwin nafsaka wa la kawwanaka man huwa misluka. You did not create yourself. You were not there. Imam said, actually, you were not there. Then you came into being, came into existence. And you know for sure that you did not create yourself. Neither someone like you created you. Which means that actually there was someone unlike us. Not like us. Someone unlike us who created us.
Thank you, Maulana. If there are any other questions, please raise your hand or type in your questions and I'll read them out aloud. There was one, since there are no other hands, there was one more question, Maulana, that I had, and that was regarding when we were discussing the fact that the argument of sequential chain is invalid. In the question, and you were saying that if we assume that A is dependent on B and B is dependent on C, then and that goes as an infinite chain, and that it's not possible. Would it be right to say that an argument supporting this or along those lines, or an example of such a chain would be if someone says that a child is created by the father and the father is created by his father, and this is, would this be considered as a sequential chain, or is that let me rephrase this properly. Would this example pertain to an example of the invalid sequential chain?
Child is not created by the father. Father is one of the means. There are several means involved, and one of those means is the father. One of those means is the mother. One of those means is the, you know, well, a child is created by the creator, okay? A creator who is compulsory being, and he's the one who brings a non-existent child from non-existence into existence. So, well, the semen converts into a baby. When the semen is conceived in the womb, who knows? Can the father, is father empowered to conceive the semen in the womb? Certainly not. There are so many people who try and they don't have babies. I mean, what is the father and how is his power and strength to be able to conceive the baby in the womb? And, you know, there are so many who tried, they then resort to the test tube babies because they could not let their semen be conceived in the womb. So what is the father? How much is his strength? Where does he stand to do that? And even in the test tube babies, there are so many, it's not, you know, it's not something which is perfect to provide results. It's very, very low testing results that the scientists have proved. That's all again. It depends on the will of Allah. So even if the semen is conceived in the womb, okay, is the father capable enough to convert the semen into a piece of flesh and then to grow bones in this piece of flesh and then later on grow, bring the soul at the age of 4 months? When the soul arrives in the baby, is the father blowing the soul into the body of the baby inside the womb? Certainly not. Is the father providing the food? No. We consume the food, which converts into, goes into the bloodstream, and how the semen is formed from our blood. So these are things which is in the control of God. So, and there are so many people who consume food, but they are still incapable of conceiving a baby, because again, it's not just consuming food that makes conceives a baby. It's not just the human semen that conceives a baby. It's not just conceiving of semen in the womb that converts a baby, forms a baby. You know, there are so many different factors. They are working as means and partial means. And all those partial means, behind all those partial means is the power and will and strength of God. If His will is there, all these means work and keep on working. If His will is not there, maybe the first means will stop and it will not work. Maybe the first will work, the second would stop. It will not move forward. Maybe the second would work, the third of those chain of means would stop. It will not work further. Maybe the fourth of the means would stop. It continuously, that's why our scholars say, not just we depend on the wajibul wujud and the compulsory being to bring us into existence from non-existence, but also we depend on the wajibul wujud, on the compulsory being, to continuously will for us to survive. Even for a moment of our life, or for a moment of the life of a baby, if God ceases to have His will, God stops wishing, stops willing our survival, a baby would die. So actually, it's the will of God. Actually, it's the qudrat and power of Allah which is creating, not the father. Father is just one of the several means that God has assigned to work. And the same father, in so many cases, tries so hard but still cannot conceive a baby, even though he does the same thing, the same procedure, but he doesn't get the result. Because the result was never in his control, ever. It was already in the control of God and His power and His will and His wisdom.
Thank you very much, Maulana, for the answer. And Sister Abby has another question, and her question is, I'm wondering if we have in our books any hadith that is similar to that narrated in our brother's books, And part of the hadith you mentioned is Allahu walam yakun ghayru shay. And then she said that there's another version that has an additional phrase and quote, and Allah exists now as He has always existed. Can you address her question? And if there are no more questions, then this will be the last question Maulana will address. And if you have, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we will close the session after this question. And there will be no lecture on February 20th, the Ashura Day. That's another announcement. Over to you, Maulana.
Yes, our scholars and of philosophy have mentioned in their books this sentence, that which is very very famous sentence, كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء والآن كما كان. I repeat, كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء والآن كما كان. What does it mean? I was intentionally not mentioning that in today's lesson because I thought maybe it would be very tough or something of a higher level. That's why I neglected that. So, well, now that the question came, let me just elaborate a little bit. The sentence means that there was God was there and there was nothing else. And right now, the situation is the same. What do we mean by that? Right now, the situation is the same. That means there is still, it's the same situation. That means God is there, and there's no one else other than Him. Everything else, we find so many things available. We find ourselves available. We find so many, billions and billions and billions of mumkin al-wujud, possible beings created from non-existence to existence available around us. Why do we say God is there and there is no one still? God was there and there was no one, and right now it's the same. That means God is there still and there's no one other than Him. What they try to say with this remark, no one else is available who has His existence from His own. All the existences around us are dependent on God, and God is self-sufficient and self-reliant and not dependent on anyone or anything. There is all these existences which are found here are actually when somebody is entirely, entirely dependent on Wajib al-Wujud, not just in his creation, but also in his survival. Every moment of our life is continuously depending on his will, on his continuous will. So actually, it's his power, his will, his wisdom, his knowledge. It's God's Qudrat and power which is surviving. It's not us, actually. In the real, real sense, we are not there. It's the power of God which is there. It's the will of God which is there. It's His wisdom which is there. It's His knowledge which is there. Not us, in the real sense. So actually, nobody's there other than God. And everything else which is found is actually is surviving because of His will and entirely dependent in His entire existence on the will of God. So, it's actually nothing but God in the real sense. And our scholars say that we are not fakir and dependent. We are not just fakir and dependent and muftakir and dependent in our, it's improper for us to say that we are fakir and dependent existences. This is not a proper way to say, our scholars say. In fact, we are dependents. We are aine fakr. We are aine ihtiyaj. Entirely, our whole existence is nothing but dependence. Instead of saying we are dependent, actually we are saying that, I mean, in a very deep sense of that statement, we and dependence. Our scholar said, don't say we and dependence, say dependence. Because who are we? We are nothing but dependence. Every moment of our life is dependent. So we are nothing but dependence, actually. Instead of putting it in a statement that we are dependent, we are dependence. We are fakr, we are ayn al-fakr, we are ayn al-ihtiyaj. We are nothing but dependence on God. So we actually do not exist in the real sense. We, by breaking away from God. So actually it's the will of Allah which is existent. Actually it's the wisdom and ilm and qudrat and power of God which is existing. So, and everything that is found in the universe is wajhullah. It's the face of Allah. It's the wajh of Allah. And if anybody and everybody is doing the assigned, assigned task by God. So it's His will which is surviving. It's His qudrat and power which is surviving. It's His knowledge and wisdom which is there. And nothing but His qudrat and ilm and hikmat. So, yeah, there are certain things which actually, yes, they do belong to a higher level of understanding, but I think for this level, it should be sufficient for now. Thank you very much.
Once again, I would like to say that there will be no lecture on Ashura Day, which is Sunday, the 20th of February. And since there are no more questions, I would request the speaker to please recite the dua, inshallah ta'ala, and then we'll close the session for today. And thank you very much for attending the lectures.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hujjata ibn al-Hasan, salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi sa'ah wa fi kulli sa'ah, waliyyan wa hafidha wa qa'idan wa nasira ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين